Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
When we open the Bible and come with a heart that says, Lord, I'm coming to seek you, we're in the presence of God. And we can trust that we are going to receive the help of God. And God's going to speak to us. And this is that place where we are going to find ourselves going deeper and deeper in our knowledge of the Lord.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Philippians. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, in the message titled, That I May Know Him. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Our knowledge of God is being filtered to us through other people, which is good, and God uses that. But there is a place where God wants to meet you directly, personally. And that only happens if we seek him ourselves, if we make that time to just really get before him and seek to engage with him. And listen to the expression of the psalmist and a few of the prophets about this very thing. In Psalm 27, David's the author. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. So David is expressing his personal desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, when David said the house of the Lord, he's just really talking about the presence of God. He was seeking to dwell in the presence of God. And later on in that psalm, he says, as he says, when you said, so he's in the psalm, he's speaking back to God. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. It's very interesting because David here tells us that God said to him, seek me. And David said, I will seek you. And you know, God says that to us as well. He says, seek me, seek my face. He invites us to do this. Of course, we could not know God at all if he didn't give us an invitation to come and know him, but he has given us an invitation to come and know him. In Psalm 42, the writer of the psalm says, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God, my soul thirsts for God, the living God. You see, once again, talking about that personal thirsting for God. And then Psalm 63, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. I love that. And this is one of my favorite passages in the Psalms. God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Early will I seek you. So the psalmist is expressing that he himself is seeking the Lord. And then if we just look at a couple of the prophets, Isaiah wrote this in the 26th chapter, it's recorded, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. And then this, with my soul, I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you. Again, Isaiah is describing that personal longing to know God and to go deeper with him. And then finally, just a reference to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah, these words that I want to share right here, these are God's words through Jeremiah. So Jeremiah, the prophet, he is speaking as God's mouthpiece, and this is what the Lord says. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart, Jeremiah chapter 29. So again, God says, seek me. And he promises you will find me, but you must seek me with all of your heart. And so this is the way we go deeper with God. We have to personally seek him. We have to personally set aside time to say, God, I want to know you. And I was even thinking about this in regard to my own life. I was thinking about just all of the wonderful stories in Scripture of God, you know, revealing himself to people and them crying out to him and him coming to their aid or him answering their heart's cry or whatever. And I was thinking about how I need those experiences myself. And we all need those. And the wonderful thing is we all have that same opportunity because we've all been invited into this kind of knowledge of God. Now, let me take this and now just expand it one step further. And our third point is that in doing this, so we're talking about that heart that just says, Lord, I'm going to seek you. But what is that? What is the avenue through which we do it? Well, we do it through prayer, but we do it through the Scriptures. You see, it's through the Word of God. And thank God we have a Bible. Thank God we have many Bibles. God has given us his word. And we here in the Western world, in the English-speaking world especially, we are so blessed to have God's word. But along with that blessing comes a responsibility. And so we need to be in the word of God because, you see, it's through God's word that we will come to that deeper knowledge of God. And it's through meditating on God's word. There are passages that remind us of that. The Lord spoke to Joshua, the successor of Moses, and he said, this book of the law, speaking of the word at that time, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That was the word to Joshua. And when you do that, you're going to prosper and you're going to have success in your spiritual life. And then the psalmist said something similar. The very first psalm, David writes this psalm to open the whole Book of Psalms, the 150 Psalms begins with, blessed is the man or the woman who delights in the law of the Lord. And in God's law, they meditate day and night. For again, that person will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They're going to bring forth fruit. Their leaf is not going to wither. Whatever they do is going to prosper. These are the promises. So if we're going to come to that deep knowledge of God that he desires that we have, it's going to be through the Scriptures and through meditating on them. Now, once again, I want to go back to J.I. Packer. And from his book, Knowing God, he has a great paragraph on meditation. And he describes it. He says, meditation is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying to oneself the various things that one knows about the works and ways and purposes and promises of God. It is an activity of holy thought, consciously performed in the presence of God, under the eye of God, by the help of God, as a means of communion with God. It is a matter of talking to oneself about God and one's self. I love that. What a great description of meditation. And let me just touch on a few things again. He says, it is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying. So when we go to the Word of God, it's not simply that we're reading it. Well, we are to read it, but we also need to meditate on it. And just some of you might be saying, well, I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know where to start. People often ask the question, how do you get into a regular, consistent time of reading the Bible? Now, everybody has a different way of going about it. And, you know, for some people, one way seems to work well. And for other people, a different way works well. I can just share with you really quickly what I do. And I do this at this stage of my life, having read and studied the Bible for about 40 years now. It's a long time. But my habit is similar to what it's always been, but these days it's a little bit different. So really quickly, what I do these days is I try to start off with a psalm. And I start, of course, in the first psalm, and then I eventually make my way through all of the 150. So each day I'm reading at least one psalm. Sometimes if the psalms are brief, I will read maybe two or three. But that's where I start. And I start there because I want to just sort of stir myself up a little bit, and the psalms seem to be a good tool for that. So from there, then I read a chapter in the Old Testament. And actually, right now, I'm reading a little more than a chapter because I'm making my way through the prophets. I just finished Habakkuk yesterday. And so I actually read the Habakkuk's just a few chapters. So I read all of those chapters. If it's a small book, I'll generally read the whole thing. But like when I was going through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, I was reading a couple of chapters a day. A couple chapters a day there. But I started in Genesis, reading a couple of chapters there, and now I just happen to be through the prophets. So I read a psalm, I read a couple of chapters in the Old Testament, and then I try to always read some in the Gospels. So I normally start in Matthew, and I make my way through the Gospel of John, and sometimes I'll read a whole chapter. Sometimes I might read two chapters. Right now, I'm in the Gospel of Luke, and I'm not even taking a chapter at a time. I'm just taking a section. So I'll read a portion of the chapter, I'll think about that, and then that'll be my reading in the gospel for the day. And then I also add one of the letters, and oftentimes I'll include Acts with the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Those are all historical narrative. I will read those together, then Romans and on through the epistles. Right now, currently, I'm in the book of Revelation just because I'd finished up a number of epistles. And I thought, you know, I want to read the book of Revelation. I'm reading a new translation right now, so I wanted to read Revelation in that particular translation. And I'm reading at least a chapter a day. So why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that just to give you an example, not to say do it exactly like I do, but just to give you an example. But the wonderful thing is God will show us all what works best for us. But the important thing is to be there, is to dig into, it's to dive into the scriptures. And as he went on to say in this paragraph on meditating, he said, it is an activity of holy thought consciously performed in the presence of God, under the eye of God, by the help of God. I love that. When we open the Bible and come with a heart that says, Lord, I'm coming to seek you, we're in the presence of God. And we can trust that we're under the eye of God. And we can also trust that we are going to receive the help of God. And God's going to speak to us. And this is that place where we are going to find ourselves going deeper and deeper in our understanding of the Lord, in our knowledge of the Lord. And so, as Paul expressed, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, we can follow in the footsteps of Paul and we can have those same kinds of deep, intimate experiences with the Lord that Paul had himself and longed to have more of. The question really is this: are we pursuing that? Are we seeking that? Now, what happens is a lot of times our lives are so busy and they're so chaotic, it crowds all of this out. And we think, oh, well, I want to do that, but I just don't have the time. My day starts so early and then I've got to do this and that. But take advantage of the time that we have and start a whole new pattern of life, maybe for some. Maybe for others, it's just digging deeper because you've already been there. But maybe for some, it's like this, I'm going to start a new pattern. We can do that today. And I want to urge you to do that. I want to encourage you to do that. Because remember, the promise is that you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And this promise is to everyone. You see, part of the new covenant that Jesus came to bring, and when he came into Jerusalem that day on the back of that donkey, he was coming into Jerusalem for the final time. And of course, that week, he would die on the cross at the end of the week, but he would also institute in that, what we call the Last Supper, he would institute the new covenant. And he would take that bread and he would break it and he would take that cup and they would share it. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant. One of the chief features of the new covenant is this. Jeremiah expressed it and Hebrews 8 repeats it. This is it. The new covenant is that all will know me. All will know me. No one will say to his neighbor or his friend, know the Lord here, let me teach you. Because you can't know him personally. No, all will know me from the least of them to the greatest. That's the beauty of the new covenant. All will know me, from the least of them to the greatest. There's a catechism that was written many centuries ago. It's called the Westminster Catechism. And there it states this. It states, the chief end of mankind is to know God and to glorify him forever. And that's the reality. That's why we're here. The chief end, our ultimate purpose, is to know God. And anything else that subverts that, anything else that interferes with that, is something that needs to be set aside. Now, of course, God knows that we've all got things to do and we all have jobs. We all have those things. Those are fine. God understands that. He expects that. But those things are not to take precedence over seeking God. So because the chief end of mankind is to know God and to enjoy him forever. Now, once again, J.I. Packer, and I'm going to close with another quote from Packer. And if you get the book, Knowing God, you can read all these great quotes there. But he said this. He said, once you become aware that the main business you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord. It's so true. So many problems, so many struggles, so many difficulties. What is all of this about? Why is this going on? But once we realize that, wait a second, I'm here primarily to know God, all of those things just seem to fall into place. And then Packer goes on and he says, the world today, now remember, he wrote this in the early 1970s, but nothing's really changed. Maybe the terminology has changed, but the facts remain the same. He says, the world today is full of sufferers from the wasting disease known as absurdism. Absurdism is, life is a bad joke. And from the complaint, nothing taste. These disorders blight the whole of life. Everything becomes at once a problem and a bore because nothing seems worthwhile. You see, that's life under the sun. Everything is a problem or a bore. Nothing seems even worthwhile. What is the point? What is the purpose of life? Well, you see, unless you realize that the purpose of life is knowing God, this is where life inevitably goes. But once we understand that, we're no longer caught in that struggle. He says, these disorders blight the whole of life. And so everything becomes at once a problem and a bore because nothing seems worthwhile. But these are all ills, listen, from which in the nature of the case, Christians are immune, except for occasional spells of derangement when the power of temptation presses their minds out of shape. And these, by God's mercy, do not last. What makes life worthwhile is having a big enough objective, something which catches our imagination, lays hold of our allegiance, and this the Christian has in a way that no other person has. For what higher, more exalted, and more compelling goal can there be than to know God? Amen. What could there possibly be? And so what Packer is saying here is once we understand that this is really the purpose of our existence, everything changes for us. And we're no longer wandering aimlessly through the world wondering, you know, what is life all about? And I'm frustrated and I'm bored and that's all done away with. Because now we know I am alive to know God. And I can keep, as long as I'm alive, I can go deeper and deeper and deeper with God. And the knowledge of Christ is inexhaustible. Paul referred to the unsearchable riches of Christ. The riches of Christ can never be fully searched out. So we can spend 10 lifetimes digging into the riches of Christ and not exhaust that. And so there's plenty for us to do in seeking the Lord. And let me just say this as we close. Jesus said this. Jesus, of course, came to give us eternal life. And the Bible says that many places over. Jesus defined eternal life as this. Jesus is praying to the Father, recorded in John chapter 17. And in verse 3, he says this. He says, Father, my prayer is that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. for this is eternal life. I've rearranged the words, but Jesus begins by saying, he said that he's come to give eternal life, and this is eternal life. So he defines eternal life as knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's what eternal life is. And eternal life is a quality of life now that cannot be attained apart from God, and a quantity of life that is endless. It goes on forever. And so this is why we are created. This is why Jesus came into the world, so that we could have eternal life, so that we can know God. And I want to say to those of you that do know God, I want to give you the challenge to seek to know him better, to go deeper with him, and to say, I am going to use this time to seek God. I want to come through this knowing God better than I went into it. And perhaps today, you can't say that you know God. For some of you, you might say, I don't know God at all. I don't even know anything about God. And maybe you've been hearing a little bit here. Others might say, well, I know some stuff about God, but I couldn't really say I know him. And that's the question. Of course, we can know about people, but not necessarily know them. But what we're talking about here is not merely knowing about, that's part of it, but it's actually knowing. Sometimes people will ask me, do you know that such and such a person? And I know them, I know of them, but I would say, well, no, I don't know them. But then other people, well, yes, I know. I not only do I know them, I know them very well. That's the way God wants you to know him. He wants you to be able to say, oh, I know God. Yes, God's my father. God is my friend. God's saying about you, God said about Abraham, Abraham, my friend. And God will say that about you. He wants to say that about you. He wants to say that about all of us. And that is the place that we come to when we come to know God. How do we come to know God? We come to know God through Christ. We come to know God through putting faith in Jesus. And when I say putting faith in Jesus, I mean by trusting that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that he's the savior of the world, that he's God the Son who came into the world to die in the place of sinners, to rise again and conquer death, and then to give life to all those who trust in him. And if you haven't trusted in him today, if you want to know God, you're saying, I want to know God. I need to know God. This is what I need. My life is empty. It's me. I need this. I feel guilty. I'm burdened. I'm confused. I'm fearful. Jesus is the answer. And knowing God is what you are being invited into. So if you want to do that, then say this simple prayer with me. It's very simple. And your heart is what matters, that you mean this, that you're sincere as you know how to be, that you would just simply say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I don't know God. I want to know God. Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive my sins and cleanse me of my sin. And come and take my life and make it yours. I give you my life and I receive your salvation and I thank you. Amen.
For the month of September, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is the unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443. or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Philippians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.